Over 400 million people worldwide suffer from IBS, SIBO, leaky gut, or other related digestive disorders. If you are one of those suffering, you are not alone. There's a free health summit on these digestive disorders that runs September 3rd through the 10th, and you will learn from experts on cutting-edge research and protocols. They'll help you understand and identify the root causes of your digestive struggles. They'll help you save money from wasted doctor visits and ineffective treatments. Identify which foods cause your flares. You'll learn important principles for gut healing, strategies for food reintroduction, treatments, protocols, and much more. Sign up with the link below.
Well, it's kind of good that you're boring because kept you without meaning to out of those problems for a long time.
That's right. That's exactly it. And frankly, Sarah, over time, because many people will say, well, you know, I mean, come on, 95% of people are compromised. You know what, Sarah? I spent 30 years going back and forth with Washington. And not that they listen to me, but at least shoot my mouth off. And I actually think that figure is accurate. I think that that between bribery and blackmail, I think that the system is so co-opted, which is why when Trump calls it the swamp, I think he's actually right, but he's wrong, because it's actually more of a septic tank. It's not a swamp.
A swamp you can drain more easily, or what? It's more open?
Yeah.
It's open?
Yeah.
A septic tank is closed?
Yes. Yeah. Very negative. But it's what I've experienced. Now, the good news is there are many good people in every agency, in every department, that are not co-opted. Unfortunately, there have been many more that have been. But as I mentioned earlier in this interview, I believe the people that are on the freedom side, by that I mean the people that are not co-opted, have grown. And I believe with the election of 2016, look, you can love or hate Trump, but because personally there are things that he has done that I completely disagree with, okay?
Policy-wise or personally or both?
A bit of both. For example, personally, why he would even think about shaking the hand of somebody like Stormy Daniels or Karen McDougal when he's married to someone who's as bright and smart and beautiful as Melania Trump is beyond me. Okay? I mean, come on, man. It's stupid. I mean, it's stupid on so many different fronts. From the moral side to the, you're compromising yourself, man. You're setting yourself up. You're a smart guy. You have an IQ with, you know, probably 160. What are you doing? And then from a policy standpoint, I am a bit frustrated with him on the healthcare policy front. You see, he wanted to get something through, and I get that. But he really was buying in for a period of time to the Ryan plan. And the Ryan plan was just a baby Obamacare kind of plan. And let's face it, if you look at where Paul Ryan gets his money from, it's from the insurance industry, health insurance industry, and it's also from the pharmaceutical companies.
Well, he was getting a big-time snow job from inside people.
Yes, he was. But you know what? He's not a dumb guy. He's a smart guy. Okay? So you can't tell me that he didn't go, you know what? Let's get somebody else in here. I want something. I mean, if Reagan was able to do that when it came to, hey, call this idiot in Michigan and about prevention and wellness and free market, get that guy in here. If Reagan was able to do that with the communications that were available in 1988, I would think Trump could do it also. Now, I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about anybody.
Sure. Well, so based on what you're watching and your inside information, what do you think of Trump? I mean, is he the real deal? Now, any one of us going in there is not going to do... I mean, the battle he has is monstrous. I mean, it's a huge monster, right? Mm-hmm. But is he the real deal trying to slay that monster? Or is that part of his political narrative so that people will vote for him?
Okay, so I believe he is the real deal, but... Now, here's the but. Ronald Reagan, anyone that worked in the Reagan administration was given kind of a lecture, kind of like the boss wants you just so you're on the same page as everybody here. And here's what the boss, Reagan, was the page. The right-left axis, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, whatever, blah, blah, is all theater. It's all meant to divide and conquer. The real axis is the up-down axis, up being freedom, down being oppression. The powers that be, globalist syndicate, deep state, new world order crowd, work the up-down axis. They use the right-left axis to fractionate society, keep in each other's throats, and to, if you will, deceive them and to keep them occupied while they're working the up-down axis. And the key at in the Reagan administration was work the axis toward freedom. Okay. Now let's go back to Trump. Is he the real deal? I believe he is. Now understand something. What I've come to learn and realize is that there is a deep state. The deep state, the globalist syndicate, is run... And if you think that it's run by Obamas and Clintons and the Bushes and the Soroses, you're sadly mistaken. All of those entities are middle-level managers. The brains of the outfit, the head of the snake, is with certain families. The Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Lazars, Seifs, Warburgs, Pincuses. I believe that when it's to the when you look at the Bushes, because the first statement I made when I started my radio show Operation Freedom back in October 2010 was the following, Sarah. Our country forever changed with Ronald Reagan left office in January of 1989, because every person that's occupied the Oval Office since Reagan has been owned and operated by a criminal international banking syndicate, New World Order, globalist crew. And that crew being the Rothschild-Rockefeller axis. Now, do I believe Trump is completely independent of the globalist syndicate? I do not believe he is completely independent. I do believe that Trump represents and represents a different silo of the globalist syndicate, more a silo that's more focused on making America great again, as opposed to the Rothschild-Rockefeller axis, which was all about the destruction of the United States to create their new world order and their one world government. So I believe Trump is the real deal, but I do believe he does have some globalist ties, but globalists that are intent on not fomenting war, not fomenting chaos, which is what the Rothschild-Rockefeller axis is all about, but if you will, more of a harmonious environment, and one in which the United States is not destroyed.
Well, but let's face it, being working in a global environment, me having a business back, you kind of have to now. I mean, it is a global world with the internet and everything else. So how do we work in a harmonious way for all people of the world while still maintaining our identity and caring about our people first? That is common sense. And is that where you're saying Trump is coming from?
Yes. I think he's all about nationalism, not just here in the United States, but in each sovereign nation. I think if you sat down with Trump and you would say, well, what do you think about Vladimir Putin pushing Russia's interests? He would say, good, he should. He should push Russian interests, just as I should push the interests of the United States, just as Xi Jinping should push the interests of China. There's no problem with that. But what we want to avoid is the business model of the Rothschild-Rockefeller axis, which is pure corruption, destruction, and war and chaos. That is the business model of the Rothschilds. And I believe his more is more of a detente, trust but verify. This is where Reagan was as well. Trust but verify when it comes to Russia, China, every sovereign entity you're dealing with. Treat them with dignity, treat them with respect, but there's that verification part.
High quality turmeric improves focus and mood, helps increase energy, helps age-related memory decline, and much, much more. Science Natural is offering my listeners 3 free bottles with the purchase of 1 bottle. See link below for this great offer. Also, did you know that wild lettuce is similar to morphine and is the best natural painkiller known? But it does not contain any addictive opiates. Learn this and many other remedies in the Lost Ways, methods of our ancestors. See the link below.
Well, they care about their interests first, not ours. Yes. So, right. And we don't know what their agenda is. They could be like the Rockefeller Rothschild's agenda. So we got to protect ourselves, but we need to respect them so they can take care of their people.
That's right. And that doesn't mean you ignore things that they're doing that might be harming your citizens, your country.
Exactly.
And if they do, you call them on the carpet for it.
Well, and you don't create problems. I mean, with the Putin and the Russian stuff, you don't create issues. I mean, what are you doing? And for Trump to meet with Putin, they're the second largest holder of nuclear weapons, and we're not going to even.
That's right. So
that's
Donald
so
Trump,
absurd.
So if you want an easy litmus test of who's part of the deep state and who isn't, look at that Helsinki summit. Trump and Putin met to discuss peace, negotiations between what could be done in the Ukraine, what could be done in Syria, what could be done over here, what could be. But what happened? The microphones didn't even get cold, and John Brennan, a puppet of the deep state, former director of the CIA, is screaming that it was treasonous that Trump met with Putin. Well, maybe in the deep state Rothschild Rockefeller playbook, it was treasonous because peace is not part of their playbook.
Well, maybe it's treasonous that you even said that. Maybe the person who's really doing treason is you, Brennan, for accusing him of that and going all over the media and getting people riled up like that.
Well, I'll tell you something, and brief thing on Brennan. My sources came to me after that Helsinki summit and said, listen, look who's screaming the loudest, Brennan. And the reason why he's screaming the loudest is because when Trump and Putin met by themselves, I was told that information was exchanged between the two of deep state players in their respective countries. Of intelligence information they had and deep state players Putin gave Trump of who's in the United States playing against him for the deep state that they know of, and Trump did the same with Putin.
Yeah, because their intelligence is better than ours in a lot of ways.
And one of the names that came up, as I understand it, from Putin was John Brennan.
Surprise.
And that John Brennan, I was told, what came up was that John Brennan had been working on behalf of the KGB before it dissolved and had been working for the FSB after it took the place of the KGB for all these years and all these decades. And that, in fact, that Brennan was acting as a double agent. And I was told this by several people. So what did Putin do at that meeting? This is what set Brennan and the deep state into convulsions. Putin came out at that meeting and he named a name. He named a name. He said, and Trump didn't bat an eye because it was obvious they had talked about this beforehand. Putin said, yeah, in fact, there was $400 million, and the real answer is $400,000, $400,000 that was transferred through intelligence agents, from this guy by the name of Bill Browder
oh, yeah.
to the Clinton campaign. And that was Putin trolling the deep state, and in particularly Brennan? Bill Browder, as I understand it, was a cutout of the CIA that was sent into Russia to attack their economy, funded by the CIA. Brennan was his handler. When Putin mentioned Browder, what he was telling, what he was trolling the deep state is, yeah, I'm throwing Browder's name out there, because if I'm throwing Browder's name out there, I'm telling you that I told Trump about Brennan.
Well, what do you think about the Browder? Go ahead.
And that is why Brennan went crazy after, hysterical.
Oh,
that was not, his hysteria was not from a position of power. It was from a position of weakness.
Well, what do you think about the Browder legislation?
Magnitsky Act.
The Magnitsky
there
Act.
There is a movie out that was called the Magnitsky Act behind the scenes. I saw it too.
We should put I'll put a link here for people to see it.
Yeah, and you should, but good luck, Sarah, because it keeps getting taken down.
Well, we'll do our best. And maybe listeners can help out too.
And the fact that it keeps getting taken down tells you something.
Well, maybe we can put it on BitChute or something.
Right. So here's what Browder said. Browder said, well, you know, I was working in Russia, and he admits to this, and I became the largest shareholder of many companies in Russia. And, well, my lawyer, Meninsky, and I determined that there was a lot of collusion going on with the Putin government, and I figured this out, and so did he. And, well, I got out of Dodge, but before Meninsky could get out, he got arrested. Well, the guy who did the movie is a very anti-Putin guy, and he started to do a movie about the Bill Browder story, about Browder and his lawyer, Meninsky, determined that Putin and there was corruption, and then that Meninsky was sent to prison, and Meninsky got killed in prison, and Browder's a hero, and Meninsky's he's a fallen angel who's a victim. And well, then he starts doing research into it after he shoots the movie. It's a very powerful movie. And he realizes Bill Browder's, it's all BS. But Browder and Meninsky, who was not an attorney, he was an accountant, were actually the ones ripping off the government. And they got caught. And Browder got out of Dodge, and Meninsky got left behind. And he was in prison, and he had some medical issues, and his own family said, hey, he died because of medical issues, but not because they beat him up. But Browder's out there saying he got beat up in prison when that's not the case. And in fact, there's information out there that said that a pro-Western intelligence agency is who actually took out Meninsky, because they didn't want Meninsky to testify about Browder and Browder's ties to the CIA and Browder's ties to his handler, John Brennan.
So, and I know that Browder wouldn't meet with the director, with the guy. He kept trying to meet with them, and he just wouldn't meet with them, which was a clear indication as well. But what does the Meninsky Act do?
What it does is it marginalizes and penalizes Russia. It creates, it hampers detente. It hampers the open discussion between Putin and Trump. It sanctions Russia. It puts Russia in a corner. It creates chaos in the U.S.-Russian dialogue, which is what the Rothschild-Rockefeller axis wants. They don't want peaceful negotiations.
Well, and this Browder movie tells people the Meninsky Act is based on fraud, mm-hmm. and that Russia was set up for this, and this Meninsky Act should not be put in place, and that we shouldn't be creating problems with people and creating enemies.
Correct. And that's exactly what the globalist syndicate, the Rothschild-Rockefeller axis, does not want.
Let me ask you, a lot of people talk about there being a deep state war, you know, the two factions. And I'm hearing the two factions are more like the Trump faction, who wants more freedom, who wants us to have a harmonious global relationship, but care about us first, which makes sense to anybody with a brain. And then there's this other faction, which is all about money. If you're paid off, you'll follow these guys. And this is all about global control and domination and fascism and destroying the United States because it has too much power and we want to balance it out for our global domination. Mm-hmm. Now, What is happening in the deep state behind the scene? Because my understanding, there's a lot of casualties going on. People are dying. There's more going on. You know, the mass media is terrible. They're not covering any of this. Trump has had 12 assassination attempts. Can you talk about some of the stuff that's really going on in this ongoing war?
So I do believe there's an ongoing war. And I believe the deep state is fractionating. And the silos are colliding with each other. The silos, if you will, the main silos are the Rothschild-Rockefeller axis, which has run the show. And you can take it all the way back. I take it back to 1913 when they took control of our money supply. Some people take it all the way back to the Civil War. Some people actually take it back even further. But I do believe for a long time these silos worked in harmony with each other. And then it got to a point where they now have started to collide internally. But as the Rothschild-Rockefeller axis collides with this more nationalistic group in the globalists, there's still something above those silos that is in charge.
What is that?
Well, it's another, if you will, family, if you will.
Is that the crown?
What's that?
Is that the crown?
Oh, no, the crown. The crown's a part of the Rothschild-Rockefeller axis.
Okay, who's above all that?
So the name that comes up, and it's a name that's never discussed, I believe, you know, the head of the snake is the key here, right?
Yeah.
Head of the snake is a key. And I believe that this battle between the Trump faction, and let's call that the more nationalistic group, right?
Good against evil, whatever you want to say, but go ahead.
Is taking on the Rothschild-Rockefeller axis, which I believe is truly evil and satanic. And I don't use those words lightly. But that still spares the head of the snake. And the head of the snake, what I believe, is a family called the Pesseurs.
Where did they originate from? What the
hell? I believe France.
Who the hell are they?
France. And do a little search on it, because it's my understanding that they have tentacles into about 80% at least of the corporate empires around the world.
How do you spell their name?
I believe it's Payseur, Payseur.
Payseur. Yeah. Now, do they side with one faction or the other?
I think over time they've let the Rothschild-Rockefeller axis run the show. Essentially, be not the middle-level managers like the puppets like Soros and the Obamas and the Clintons and the Bushes. The Rothschild-Rockefellers are the level above that. And I think they've always said, okay, you know what? They're kind of like a grandfather looking over the family business, right? And they said, all right, Rockies, you know, you guys, yeah, you know what? You're generating a lot of money. We're good. We're good. We're good. Yeah. Oh, war. Good. You know, a lot of the useless eaters die and we make a lot of money off of war. Oh, that's good. That's good. And now another part of the family starts to come into the business, that being the nationalistic side. And the grandfather says, well, what are you bringing to the table? Well, we're bringing a different approach and it'll make you still a bunch of money. Oh, okay.
How far down that pyramid is Trump? Is he just a puppet, or is he a little farther up on that?
You know, I think that he's probably further up the silo in the nationalistic silo than the Obamas, Bushes, and Clintons are in the Rothschild-Rockefeller.
That would make sense.
I think he's a higher level. I think he's a higher level. But do I think Trump is worried about the head of the snake? No, I think his goal is that his goals and objectives are to take out the Rothschild-Rockefeller axis of the deep state.
Now, The pesoers, who are the head of the snake, do they participate in the satanic evil aspect, or are they just, they allow it to go and they're not part of that?
Yeah, I don't know that answer, Sarah. I've only been made aware of the family that really is the head of the snake, and that they kind of call all the economic shots around the world.
Now, the side that's into supporting Trump, it was almost like another faction of that family that came and said, hey, it's time to look at it this way. You might not know the answer to this, too. Are they into the satanic evil part of that? Or are they part going, hey, wait a minute, this has gotten out of hand. We need to lighten up and not be so evil.
Silo?
I'm sorry. Trump. Yeah, the Trumps. Basically, I'm assuming one of the Pacers' side of the family said, let's give these guys more power and let's take this back and stuff. Are they not evil? Not satanic?
It's my impression that that nationalistic silo does not have the pedophile human trafficking aspect to it, like the Rothschild Rockefeller axis.
Well, I'm hoping that goes all the way up to the top, because, or the family is changing hands and there's somebody in that family that says, that woke up and says, I don't want to be evil like this. I'm a person. I'm a human being. I'm going to die like everybody else, unless you think they're not human. I don't know. But, you know, our creator is saying this is evil and you're going to have to face the creator just like everyone else. And this is not how we should be as people. And I'm hoping they're cleaning that up.
Right. And that would be the hope. I think that Trump wants to do that. I think that that silo of the globalists wants to do that. I think this is why when you look at Trump in December of 2017, he put out an executive order about executive trafficking and the pedophile networks. We've seen more pedophiles brought down, more pedophile networks brought down in the past year and a half than we have in any time in our recent history.
Is there going to be more with these indictments?
Yeah,
are they real?
Yeah. So the indictments, you know, you hear about there's 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 45.
Yeah.
You know, I've been told that the sealed indictments are in fact legitimate, that many of the indictments will not be opened because people will
pitchforks.
No. That the people that have been outed, if you will, in these sealed indictments, some people, depending on their level of criminal activity, are giving options just to go away.
No, that's fair. If they're going to help make this whole thing go down.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know, cooperate, go away, and your indictment won't be opened. It'll remain sealed. I think this is one of the reasons why, Sarah, we're seeing so many people resign from corporations, corporation boards, from Congress, from FBI, Department of Justice, you name the agencies. But I think there are players that have more involvement in criminal activity that those indictments will be opened. Mm-hmm. And I believe, and I've said this before, I've said it on my show, I've said it on other places, I believe one of the first high-profile people who will be indicted will be John Brennan.
Well, and I know that Giuliani said that we need to indict Hillary Clinton. He's starting to be vocal about that. But let me ask you, are they going to let any of the people go that have hurt children en masse? I mean, that are part of those rituals, child abuse, where they kill children. Do you think those people will be let go?
No.
Okay, because they're not any different than serial killers.
That's the red line.
I hope so, because letting a serial killer loose in society.
I think that's the red line. I think if the people that have been involved in these pedophile human trafficking, these children's deaths, I mean, let's face it, Pedophile Island, Jeffrey Epstein, the children there were raped, they were murdered, as I understand it from very well-connected sources. They were not only murdered, but after they were murdered, their organs were harvested and they were put on the black market through China. That's what I've been told.
Well, tell me if this is true. I know in Haiti they don't have clean water yet, and it's inexcusable. I know Izzy Danto was going village to village setting up water. It was a lot less expensive, and she was shut down, she believes, by the Clintons, and she has a lot of reason to believe that, and she went through that on a show I did with her. Bottom line is there's no reason they don't have clean water from a practical standpoint. They have 47,000 charities over there, NGO is screwing around. Now, the United Nations gave them cholera through their great water program, of which they don't have clean running water. Cholera can kill people without hurting organs. Is it plausible that they purposely brought cholera into the nation of Haiti so that they could have an organ trafficking in mass with clean organs?
My answer is I would hope not. But I put nothing past these people, nothing, including that. My answer is I hope not. But I wish I could tell you with certainty, definitely not. But based on what these people have done, their track record, what I've been told from sources, I put nothing past them. Look, with the amount of money that has been put into Haiti, it should look like Grand Cayman Island.
It should be a paradise. Every person should have paid education, and they should be living like the people in Saudi Arabia, the wealthy in Saudi Arabia.
Instead, we have documentation of people associated with the Clintons, Laura Silsby is an example, that have been caught trafficking children out of Haiti. I unfortunately believe. I mean, if you look at the Haitians, the Haitian people, and their response to the Clintons. It's not positive. And I believe it's not positive because they believe that the Clintons have not helped them and, in fact, hurt them in many different respects.
Yeah, well, I was hurt. You know, Azili said on my show that the Clintons, the word evil isn't a strong enough word for the Clintons. I mean, that's what she said. And they have so much hatred for them. Now, the fear is that hatred of those people spills over to hatred towards us as a country. Mm-hmm. And you see that all over the place. What do you think about that?
Well, I also think that's part of the Rothschild-Rockefeller axis, right? They thrive on hatred. They it's their lifeblood. Because when you can get people to hate each other, you get people that don't cooperate with each other. And you have people that are so consumed with trying to take each other out that they're not concerned about the real perpetrators of evil, which I believe are the Rothschilds Rockefeller axis that we're dealing with.
Well, it's hard for them to distinguish the difference when you're faced with that much evil.
Yes.
And you're not privy to information like what we're talking about.
And which is why
a healthy human being would have that kind of hatred.
Yes, yes, yes. I don't fault them for it. I don't fault them for animosity and hatred because this is what they're being fed through the propaganda arm of the globalist syndicate, that being the bought off lamestream fake media, or what some people still refer to as the mainstream media.
Yeah, it's terrible. You know, I get a little pit in my stomach every time I hear them blatantly lie about 9/11 or some other thing that I know is wrong. And, you know, I hear it constantly and I just am, it's so hard. It reminds me of when we took over Afghanistan and they had someone from the Taliban on television just to make fun of them, how they said they still have control over the city, but our forces were two blocks away and they knew, I mean, we were taking over the whole city and he was lying to the people with propaganda still. And they did that to purposely make the Taliban look stupid. But, you know, every time they lie, I think about that because that's what they're doing to us.
Right. Well, and they're pros at this. You know, they always accuse others of what they're guilty of.
Yes.
Right. That's their business model. That's their MO. So just as Brennan accuses Trump of treason when, in fact, and you said it yourself, the guy who's really guilty of treason is Brennan.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Hillary looks in the camera and talks about Trump being involved in Russian collusion, who's really guilty of Russian collusion?
Yeah, what a joke.
Whose campaign paid for that fake Russian dossier? who received $145 million in donations to the Clinton Foundation for 20% of the uranium supply of the United States. That wasn't Trump, it was Clinton. So they accuse others of what they are in fact guilty of.
But you know what's hard for us to hear that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
And then not see rule of law. You know, it seems like we're a banana republic when you can sell 20% of our nation's uranium and get $145 million to your campaign. First of all, that's way too little for 20% of our uranium. I would have been happier if she got more. No, I don't know if that. I mean, just, oh my God, you sell us out for nothing. But that being said, the fact that nothing has happened, it feels like a banana republic. Meanwhile, the people down the street, you know, are being dragged in for something small. And we have all these people locked up because they're on drugs, and we don't care about all this trauma going on with kids. And over 50% of the kids in the welfare system have been sexually abused, which is a feeder for this whole sex crime crap that they're doing. It's really hard for people not to be angry. And maybe they're using that to divide us with the left and right and the confusion of all that.
Well, first of all, the bought off lamestream fake media really doesn't touch any of that, right? Because they don't want people, they want people misinformed, disinformed, and even better, completely uninformed. But many people, and I'm in this camp too, say, you know, I'm tired of this. I want to see some high level perp walks. I'm tired of this. Stop the rope-a-dope and start punching. And I get that, because I'm in that camp as well. I know you are as well, Sarah. But here's what, and I just had this conversation this morning with someone who's a very high-level source, someone I've known for years, someone who will tell me things, and I go, oh, I don't think that's going to happen. And sure enough, like 6 months, a year later, it happens. I said to this person this morning, we were on the, he called me, and we were speaking about things, and I said, you know, time to get off a dead center. High-level perp walks have to happen because people are demoralized. People are fed up. People are at wit's end. And here's what I was told. So the longer this goes on, the more fed up people get. Yeah. So when the house of cards starts to come down, if that house of cards came down a year ago, do you think there would be more backlash a year ago or now as the house of cards fell down? I go, the backlash would be far less now because people are even more fed up, because more has come out. We're seeing more of the persecution of people that it's kind of like, that's penny ante compared to what the Clintons did. And this person said to me, and more has come out about what the Clintons have done over the past year.
So you think they're preparing people for that? That's the whole point?
Yeah.
Well, you
know. I really do.
Because if nothing happens.
Sarah, you're clued in. Your viewers are clued in. But I'll tell you something. Just go outside that window.
I know. You're right.
You know what? 95% of people
are not. And they need to get educated. But some of these takedowns might help start educating people. And
I completely agree with
that
you.
That might be the education process, because we can't wait any longer. I'm telling you, I love this country. But if this lasted for the next 5 years,
no.
I think I would be seriously looking at changing my citizenship. I can't be in a country that allows children to be killed and murdered without doing something. I just can't.
I agree. I completely agree. So do I believe there are things happening behind the curtain in these takedowns? Yeah, I do. Do I believe that all how many thousands sealed indictments are going to be opened at once? No, I don't believe that. Do I believe some are going to be held of people that didn't create crimes against children but did the other financial crimes and these other things? Do I think they might be given a, you're going to go away, you're going to turn evidence to us on these other people, and with that, you're going to just walk away? Yeah, I do. Do I think that there's going to be some high-level people that are going to come down? Yes, I do. Do I think the pedophile and human trafficking networks are going to be taken down? Yes, I do. Are they being taken down fast enough? Well, they are being taken down faster than they were before. But you know what? Every day that goes by, another kid's abused. So my point to
or
people,
masses of kids are, yes.
Yes, right. And one child, let alone masses of children, every day that goes on is too many. It has to stop. So do I believe that we're going to see some movement in these indictments before the November elections? Yes, I do.
I sure hope so. I really, you know, I gotta keep my hope up.
Is it fast enough for me or you or our viewers? No, it's not, because we're clued in. We know. We know what's going on.
Well, take some of the big cheeses down that have done some of the most brutal stuff and start talking about that and educate people that way. I know the awakening process is very hard. I know. Maybe they're also worried about that. You know, I mean.
Well, you know, just look at the Weinstein thing, right? Look, the Weinstein thing, Asia Argento, you know, she's pushing the button on Weinstein about the abuse of women. Okay, good. Good. But what about the pedophile issues?
What about the children?
What about the kids, right? So was Asia Argento out there as if you will, a limited hangout for Harvey Weinstein? Well, that kind of bit him in the butt, because now it comes about that Asia Argento was paid a $380,000 settlement to an underage boy who she had sexual relations with. Well, now, so that opens up the dialogue about the pedophiles. So,
so maybe there's a planned thing here, but follow the plan. I don't know. You know, we have to save our country, but we have to save the kids at the same time. And sometimes some of the adults might just have to go through a painful awakening process.
I'm a surgeon by trade, which means I'm not a patient person. If there's a problem, cut it out and let's move on. And my discussion this morning with this individual was, you know what? Everybody needs to start acting like a surgeon. Okay. You know, enough of this internal medicine mentality, and not to be mean to internal medicine docs, but enough of this internal medicine mentality of let's talk about the problem and let's have a conference about the problem. And then let's decide what we're going to do about the problem. And then let's create a plan about the problem. And then let's gradually implement the plan. I go, we need more surgery, a surgical approach. What we need is there's the problem, there's the disease, it's getting cut out right now.
Triage almost. I mean, we're at that point. It's Pearl Harbor on the after we got hit. I mean, it's bad. Let's maybe I don't think I'm exaggerating.
No, I don't either, Sarah. And the only thing that gives me comfort is I think, what would it be like if Hillary had won that election?
Oh, my God.
Well, first of all, I can tell you, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation, because probably you and I would be in a re-educate. And I'm not overstating. This is not hyperbole. I believe that at least I would be in a re-education camp if still breathing at this point. And so I think about how mad and frustrated I am with the progress. And then I think, and my wife is actually responsible for this. She said, so what would it look right now if Hillary was president? What would it look like?
I can't even imagine.
Would it look exactly the same as it is now? No.
I can't even imagine.
Well, I understand you're impatient, David Janda, but imagine what it would be like now.
But here's the thing. Okay, it's better, but now we're past that. She lost. Let's move on. Let's fix our problem. We won that battle. Mm-hmm. Now we got a bunch of other battles in front of us, and it's triage, and we got to start moving on. We got to start moving in.
And I think the one thing that Trump's a smart guy, very smart guy, and I think that silo are a bunch of smart people. But I think even they did not comprehend
how evil
and how the tentacles have infiltrated
Yes.
into society and into so many other different countries.
God, I know. Yeah.
So what I've been told is that when you're going after the Clintons, you're now following ties into virtually almost every country of the world. And you're having to integrate with law enforcement in all these other countries as you start to pull this string.
And almost every law enforcement organization in our country has somebody that's compromised.
And that's true in other countries as well.
Yeah. And so it is a hard problem. And they are taking people down. I suppose you just take them down. I don't know what their plan is. I'm not privy to the inside, but I'm starting to be privy to what is actually happening. You know, I'm hearing the horror of what's happening. And I do know that the trafficking network, the FBI agents, the police forces are now being trained pretty. They weren't even trained on this stuff.
No, that's
they
right.
weren't. They were purposely kept in the dark.
Yep.
So that nobody could touch them. So now
right.
they're being heavily trained. I mean, we have this training issue, and I know they're being heavily trained. Now, that's inside sources that I've heard, is that, and I've talked to people doing the training, they're heavily training people because they're clueless.
Yes.
They're, you know, they don't want to be, but they just don't have that skill set because they don't, you can't let them go in and not know what they're doing because all it's going to do is get a lot of people killed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, not that there aren't a lot of people being killed anyways, but it's not going to stop the network from continuing, and it's going to get people killed. So what we want to do is stop that network and not get people killed. So I can appreciate it from that angle. You know, the more I think about it, but I'm so impatient. I guess, you know, I don't know. There's kids being killed. Stop. And in mass.
Well, I, as I said, I'm a surgeon. I'm not an internal medicine doc. And as I told this person this morning, and it's very high level, I said, I'm tired of putting my internal medicine hat on.
Figure out how to speed this crap up.
It's time we went in the OR.
You know, the thing is that they have to realize that they're at the front lines now. And sometimes no time like now creates that urgency. And Washington doesn't have an urgency. And I think that's what you're talking about. They need that urgency. I know Trump understands urgency. When you run a corporation and you have to keep your cash flow positive, you're always
yes.
urgent. You know, it's my money. I gotta, and you're a surgeon. Everything is urgent. You have to have a sense of urgency because every time, every day goes by, kids en masse are dying. So that sense of urgency needs to be instilled in everyone. We don't want to go in sooner, but we got to have that sense of urgency. And sometimes just pulling the trigger and going is what you need to do because you never will pull that trigger because it's never the right time. It's like, it's never the right time to have another kid. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Very true.
Yeah.
Very true, Sarah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, how can people get hold of you?
So they can listen to my show. They can go to my website, davejanda.com. We stream the show live. We're based out of Wham Talk 1600 in Ann Arbor. They can stream the show live, Operation Freedom, every Sunday from 2 to 5 Eastern. So they go up in the upper right-hand corner, davejanda.com, listen live. We also present a significant amount of public information on our website, davejanda.com. We also have a subscription service at 30 cents a day, $9 a month, it's a month-to-month sign-up, where we do extra interviews, video interviews, more deep dive analysis interviews that we bring to the forefront, and we go a little bit more depth on certain issues that we can't on the radio, because when you do certain issues, as you know, Sarah, and you're on a radio station, there's a lot of potential blowback.
Yeah.
So these are issues that we leave and information that we leave on our website at davejanda.com. I have a YouTube channel, Operation Freedom. Folks can sign up. I usually post one free YouTube a week. And then in addition, what I do with my – I have a video show called the Insider Insight Show where I do a segment called the WTF segment of information I'm getting from folks, my contacts from 30 years behind the curtain. And then I do an interview with someone this week. We have Kevin Shipp, who's a whistleblower from the
yep.
CIA. On And but that's how folks can monitor what we're up to. And I thank you very much for all that you do, because as I said at the very beginning, I've been a longtime follower of yours, and you do fantastic work, and you truly have made our country a better place.
I really appreciate it. Thank you. And you too. I highly recommend going to your website and looking at that stuff. Well, thank you so much. Will you stay after a little bit for my Patreons?
I would be honored.
Thank you.
Thank you.